Welcome to Church 307, Wyoming's online church. And man, and I'm glad that you're here. Seriously. No, we are. We are very glad you're here. Would you please thumbs up, like, subscribe, share, blast, smash, do everything in this video that would promote it inside the algorithm, please, because we think this content is worth getting out there. And with that, Grant, will you please kick it?
Yep. Send it.
All right, my name is Mitch Austin, and again, welcome to Church 307. I'm sitting here with Mike Wilson.
Hey, welcome to the week's podcast. We're talking about the Bible today.
The good word.
It's a unique thing for a Church 307 to talk about is the Bible.
Right.
And here we are. We're sitting with Chad Sheehan. We've known each other for 13 years now.
Yeah, wow.
You guys did the math on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, that's how long I've been here, so.
It's just a sliver of our life.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Snippet.
You've been here longer than I have.
Yeah.
I'm the new guy.
The beginning.
Yeah. Were you born here?
I was born in Gillette, but we've gone to New Life since I was as young as when it started. My parents.
You're like a founding father.
Yeah. Well,
Not that old.
But I was still in diapers at the time.
Okay.
So,
there you go.
Yeah.
It's like a child of Abraham.
Founding child.
Close.
Yeah. Chad owns a company here in town that does disaster recovery restoration stuff, and I'm glad I could talk about that correctly because I understand it fully.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah. His company cleaned up my basement after a flood recently, so I was thankful for what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Chad has demonstrated what it looks like to allow your faith to not just be something you do on Sunday mornings, but just be fully integrated into your life and even into the business you own. And so when we started talking about people that have made it evident that Scripture has played a key role in their life and the formation of how they live their lives and what they do daily. You are number one about who we wanted to bring into this podcast. We call it faith at work. And you put your faith to work every single day, and it's very obvious. And so thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, if we could.
Thank you.
This might put Grant on the spot more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Chad has a great video that he helped us make talking about faith at work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
maybe Grant could put a link up or put it in the comments.
As a little promo, Chad was robbed one time, and the individual who robbed from Chad ends up working for you, and incredible story of reconciliation. We made a video, so yeah, check out that video, and you can watch the full thing on YouTube.
Thank you.
Yep.
No, it's humbling to think like that, but I don't know any other way. I mean, that's like the video that you showed last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe what this Bible says and you don't live it out and share it, I question whether you believe it that much.
You don't fully grasp it.
Yep, because heaven and hell, if heaven and hell alone is real, there isn't a person that it would bother you if you had the opportunity and didn't step up to the plate to share Christ with them.
Yeah, that's right. And I've noticed it's not just a work. You have every morning, it seems like, you're posting a devotional on – is it every day that you post a devotional?
Every day. And to be honest on that, I went to Hurricane Katrina to do disaster work down there that many years ago, and I've had a guy that is faithful and sends me that every single morning.
Okay.
Really?
So it's a thing that there's that. There's sometimes then I post my own stuff, but that I get enough response just from that I read it and then pass it on in the morning. And that's the kind of people I surround myself. They're the kings in my life, right?
Yeah.
They're the ones that are like, whew, that guy's faithful. That's every morning since Katrina.
Yeah. You don't post a devotional on your social media account every morning if you're ashamed of your faith.
No. In fact, I had a buddy of mine, he's a pastor, and he says, every once in a while I check out Facebook and just see, Chad still loves Jesus.
So check. Yeah, Chad's still faithful.
So, yeah, that's right.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for being faithful. Do you have people comment on him and respond to him? Or
what's amazing is the people that you run into at the store that don't comment, because the same ones will like it love it. And like you say, this is important to like and to love and to share, because it actually will boost it up in the Google world. But my world, I don't care how much it grows other than sharing Christ. And it's amazing how many people say, hey, I really appreciate that.
That's cool. So, yep. I'm one who has a horrible time remembering to click the like button. Mm. Oh, yeah. So I like Chad. Yeah, I don't click the button, but I do like.
No, so it's good stuff to that, and it's not me, right? It's just being faithful and obedient is just a act of service to something that I believe in. It's not because of me. In fact, some of my posts I really struggle with, because I just talked about doing some a guy called me out about not helping a widow in Lusk, Wyoming, when we were on a job because we're super busy. And he goes, well, I think helping widows and orphans is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang it. So I called my manager up, and he went over there and set equipment. And all these people start commenting, oh, Chad, you're a good guy. And I'm not. Mm. I'm not. It's only because the Holy Spirit allows me to do these things that I am not just a selfish person, because those are the reasons that I read the Bible, and I do that because it's not about me. And so sometimes posting is a double edge, because I'd rather get kicked back from somebody who says, yeah, you just think that's God, and then have that conversation with them than people say that, oh, I'm glad you're good, because the Bible says nobody's good. So,
that's right.
That's probably the fear that I think a lot of Christians could have, is I would post, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be held under a microscope.
I don't want to be a hypocrite.
I don't want to be a hypocrite, so therefore I'm just not going to do it. Whereas your mindset is different than that.
Yeah, it's just, I just try to, I mean, the truth is the truth, right? I mean, and that's what the Bible is truth. And so if you have anything else to gauge it against, the world won't really affect you, because, I mean, people can say things, and I get it wrong a lot, so then they can get it right.
Yep.
You know,
I had a guy this week on social media say, why are you a Christian? Mm. He was an atheist who was saying this in an accusatory way. And the only answer is, because it's true.
Right.
If you are a wise person, you seek what is true, because what is true works. Anything that is false does not work. It leads to problems. It leads to chaos. And mm-hmm. so you should seek what is true, what is right, because that will lead to good things. That'll lead to order and blessing. And so I'm seeking truth, whether it's Christianity or something else. I'm absolutely convinced that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ happened. And if that happened, all the other dominoes fall down. That's all that matters.
Right.
If Jesus rose from the dead, that is everything. That is the center of it all.
That's right.
And so I'll seek that truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were doing, at least in the past, you have done some kind of Bible study at your place of work with your employees, right?
You know, every Friday morning we have a men's Bible study. We have hired some gals, so we're trying to figure that out. But my being a barber all those years, that's, I believe, you change the hearts of men, you change the hearts of the country. And so that's where my heart is. So we do a men's Bible study here and in Casper, and then I'll go to breakfast every Friday morning. We might miss one a quarter, maybe, but for the most part, that matters more than any of our training or anything else we do. Yeah.
Okay, so this sounds like there's business owners that are watching this right now, and they're thinking, wait a minute, how do you work a Bible study into, are they coming in early, like before they clock in to, and you've convinced your guys it's worth coming in early to work?
Oh yeah, they know. Do a Bible study. 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday mornings.
That's awesome.
Most businesses are just trying to get their employees to show up on time. You're saying come early.
Guys, we agreed you'd be here like on time. Can you at least push for five minutes late?
And they don't get paid for this. Now, they do get breakfast. And I don't even care. You know, there's guys, there's one guy currently that did make his first Bible study in Casper, even though he's from here, this last week. Whether or not those guys threatened him, I don't know how they got him there. But we always welcome, hey, if it's not for you right now, you're going to see Christ in this company. We're praying at every morning meeting. You're going to see it. So, but you're always welcome to breakfast. So you come to get free breakfast.
Sure.
Be a part of something.
So you don't make it a hiring requirement. No. Like you've got to come to this Bible study or else you're not hired.
No, in fact, you know, some of that stuff is, there are Christian companies that then just hire Christians and that works for them. I'm different. I say Christians don't need my company. Hmm. You know, I mean, I'm thankful that majority of us are Christians. A majority of the guys now come here. Hmm. But I will hire just about anyone that can be a fit.
Yeah.
And if they're open to it, I tell them in the interview. So any of you guys worried about that stuff? I've never been sued. I welcome it. I mean, if that's what it takes, right? Yep. I welcome being sued over that. But I tell them off thing, we're a Christian company. That's what we try to live by and is important to us. And if you're going to be here, you don't have to believe this stuff, but you're going to have to endure it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Well, I appreciate you living out your faith in that way. And
yeah, that's incredible.
And not being ashamed of it. So let's talk about the Bible and our Bible reading habits. Let me ask both of you this. Is there a part of the Bible that you prefer to read or you spend more time in? Or if you're just sitting down to read that you gravitate toward? Or are you a beginning to end always type of person?
Hold on first, Chad.
Yeah. You know, I'm a... Because of living out my faith is important. Of course, I like New Testament, James. Mm-hmm. You know, I like Romans. I like it when it talks about, you know, this is wisdom. It's different than what the world says and set yourself apart. So those are the things I gravitate towards just because I'm not a historical person. I can't remember most things. You know, that's why I read dailies because—
Needs to be fresh.
I forgot an hour ago.
So. Yep. Yeah, that's good.
I think the hardest stuff for me is Numbers, mm-hmm. and like Leviticus, and anything that's going through. Like, if it's build the temple like this, build the ark like this, and these were the descendants of this, and keep this law except for on the second Tuesday of the third month,
right.
And
right. All the legalistic.
Those are incredibly hard for me. If I'm doing like a yearly Bible app, it's like. Or, you know, plans like...
Yeah, yeah. Let's skip the July.
I'm good. Those are hard. Those are the tough ones.
It's one thing that you learn as a Christian very quickly is that not all books of the Bible are equally applicable to our lives.
Right.
I mean, you read one book of the Bible and you're reading history, it's an education, but it's not going to uplift your spirit as much as it's Psalms old law might.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And then you've got the Proverbs and the Psalms and the wisdom literature that help you like learn, but then also worship. And then you've got the New Testament that kind of gives you your mission and your call. And so I'm not saying they're not all inspired by God, but they're not equally applicable in our lives.
Right.
And I think a problem that we've done is that we've taken the books of the Bible and we've made them a book.
Yeah.
Rather than seeing this as a library that God has given us, a whole list of love letters that God has given us, history and lessons and all these things, instead we just lump it all together and call it all the Bible. And yes, we've put it into one book. We printed it all and made it nice and neat, and we gave chapter headings to it, and we gave numbers to each verse and all that stuff just to make it easier to read. But that does not mean it's all written by the same author at the same time. Right. And I think it's wise for us
that it's even in order.
That is not in order. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you read.
You have your favorite movie, right? I mean, you wear out a certain movie because you enjoy it.
Yep.
That's kind of the same with here.
Not all Marvel movies are created equal either. Right. I'll tell you that.
Oh, gosh.
So I think that it's valuable for us to remember, because I think a lot of people pick up a Bible and they're like, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible. So where do they start? Beginning, Genesis. That's how you read books.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're getting to Leviticus real quick after that, and you're going to be done.
Yeah, right.
You're going to quit. If that's your Bible reading habit, is to start at the beginning and work your way through,
it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's overwhelming for guys that have read it for years.
Yep.
You know, one thing that I enjoy, actually, which is a sick way, but I enjoy reading the Bible and realizing the more I read it, the more I need Christ and the more I am a loser. You know, so when you get these guys on Facebook say, oh, you're such a good person. No. Here, let me show you what God wants, yep, and in the love that Christ had for dying on our cross. I mean, so I get a kick out of that when I'm reading that, and I'm like, oh man, I need to get my act together.
Yeah, me being a screw up is evidence that screwed up people can be saved.
Yeah, like, that's right.
You should know that you can be a hypocrite and be a Christian, because I am right, one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so yeah, I think that's really
where
good.
Where would you recommend that people start? Like if someone's new to the Bible, like I'm going to conquer this thing. Like,
yeah.
Where would that journey?
First of all, I'd say good luck with the conquer. Right. Go ahead.
So right. Like a lot, that's like where I feel like a lot of people start out.
Yeah.
I've been there. Yeah. I was like, man,
it's not a check mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I wrote down this quote. St. Jerome says, "The scriptures are shallow enough for a babe to come and drink without fear of drowning, and deep enough for theologians to swim in without ever reaching the bottom."
Wow, yeah.
Like,
there you go.
I feel like I can read a Bible story to my sons and their minds are blown. I mean, my son, actually, I asked my oldest son, "Who's your favorite Bible character?" And he said, "The snake." I'm like, "You." It was not.
Makes sense, though.
He's into snakes.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, fair enough.
Like, the Satan cannot be your favorite Bible character, son.
Right. I don't know. Couldn't, like, Thanos be your favorite character, or?
Well, okay, you're right. Your favorite character. I mean, I do like Loki.
Fake, too, or Loki.
I'm a Loki guy.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand. There's some culture. not anti-hero, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's shallow enough that anybody can start reading it.
Yeah.
Even if you're listening to it. Actually, Mitch, you've got this Bible.
Talk about it right now if I want.
Yeah, go for it.
This is the Jesus Storybook Bible that my wife found this probably because of working at this church.
Yep.
Would be my guess. I actually, and to be fair, I walked into your wife's office and I said, "Hey, do you by chance have?" And she opened up a cabinet full of these things. But this is the Jesus Storybook Bible, and it goes from Genesis to John writing Revelations. And Revelation. But it doesn't pull every story of the scriptures, but it pulls a lot. And every story points to Jesus.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I would be surprised if there is not lines or truths in this that would not blow your mind.
Yep.
This is written for children, and I can guarantee you there will be something in here that will open your eyes up to God in a way you have not thought of him.
It is
seen him.
It is
incredible.
Brilliantly put together. Yes. It is powerful.
It's actually beautiful art too.
Yeah.
The whole book is just, I can't believe something like that exists. It's great.
I've been studying the Bible since I grew up a pastor's kid. I mean, I've been studying the Bible forever and I still study this book. I still I read this for my devotions. It's that powerful because it shows how every single story in the Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus and how every single story in the New Testament is pointing back to Jesus and then to his return. Mm-hmm. And the way it does it through story is just brilliant. And if you have not ever, I'm not going to say if you've never read the Bible before.
Yeah.
If you want a new way of reading the Bible, pick up this kid's Bible and read it. Like, it is powerful. I fight back tears after most stories, just seeing how God in his brilliance has tied it all together. And it's really good.
It's really good. It's incredible. And all that is kind of a good point. I think me and some of my guys have had to talk about this because as Christians, we are told to get into the book, told to read.
Yep.
And then you read it, and then you go talk to someone, says, "Well, you didn't read that right. Mm-hmm. You didn't know the definition of that word, so you don't know what you're talking about." It's not to sound overly defensive or make it seem like it's not worth reading the Bible, because it is.
Yeah.
But what do you say to that? And I think it ties into what we were talking about before this. Like, it's shallow enough for babes, but theologians can swim in it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's okay. Like, you're going to learn. You're going to read.
Yeah.
That's what we always tell them.
I think it's a heart issue, like we were talking about. I mean, it's a heart issue on, I think some of these deep comments are meant for very mature Christians, because it's not going to muddy the waters, because there's going to be things we disagree on. We read it different. We have different, versions and all that stuff. And that doesn't that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love some of your analogies, like the thief on the cross, you know, and he didn't get dunked. He didn't do all those things. And he says, you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, that is a heart issue. So by reading this, I think that's, if you can pray to God, please change my heart,
yeah,
and allow me to understand what you would like to give me. That's what reading the Bible is. So just start and say, man, teach, because it's going to be foreign, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be foreign. And then just, man, and he will. He's faithful. He says, you know, everybody talks about the, he'll bless you. I hate it. And I'm always one, oh, he's going to bless you. Your business is blessed because you're faithful. I don't look at that. I'm blessed because I'm around good people, that I have a faithful heart. I have, those are the things that I think he blesses us with.
Mm,
I
mean,
because otherwise then that you're telling me the guy that lives in the trailer house or that's struggling isn't a faithful guy. I don't like that. So with this, when he says, I will give you the things of your heart and I will give you things, I will bless you. It's talking about things of this.
Yeah.
Let me be humble.
Yep.
Let me love you, Lord. Let me do that thing because I don't know how to do this.
Yep. Hopeful and peaceful and joyful, man. And the blessings come in many different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not monetary. It's not of this world.
Yeah. I think the only time when our biblical interpretations really get in the way is when our pride gets in the way.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have a disagreement in Scripture, great. This is a great way for us to come together.
Yeah.
And I need to know what you think about Scripture so that I can have a conversation with you and we can dig deeper together. And then that's how we get into the depths of the Bible, is to have that conversation. It's not my opinion versus your opinion.
Right, right.
It's both of us trying to better understand the truth that's given to us in Scripture.
And that's where I think as you mature, you're able to sit there and go, you know, at the end of it, I really don't care. My parents and I talk a lot about different things, how it's going to end, what's going to happen. And at the end of it, I really don't care. Let's talk about the heart.
Yeah.
Because we can regurgitate like a news feed, right?
Yep.
I mean, you watch the news feed, they just regurgitate each other's stuff over and over and over. And Christians are famous for that. We'll regurgitate
what we
just heard, what we just studied, and we're going to act smarter, do all this. But where's your heart?
Yep.
And that's what I really think it comes down to.
Yeah.
I like that, the heart and humility.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh.
So when you ask the question, where do you start? I say in the beginning of the New Testament. So start reading in Matthew, because that is what is most applicable to us as Christians,
right?
Because it is books written by Jesus's followers, the people who knew him personally. They wrote these books so that the church, the church, will know how to become who we were created to be. And so I tell people, start in Matthew or John. A lot of people say start in John, one of those two, because that will help you start at the beginning of our story. And so it's not to say Genesis is not applicable or not helpful. You need that will come, but start in Matthew or start in
if you can't remember things, if you start in Matthew, then by the time you get to John, you've heard the story enough times that
you've heard it four times.
Yeah.
So, and I think a valuable thing when you're reading the Bible is to know what you're reading. Where are you reading? What book are you in?
Mm-hmm.
The headings at the top of the chapters and each section in the Bible are not part of the Bible. Just so you know, the verse numbers were not added by the authors.
What?
Nope, those were added later.
What?
No. So they are not the inspired word of God. I can tell how your Bible's ripped that you have it open quite often. But those headings, I think, can help you to get a bigger picture of what's going on. So I am a fan of the headings, even though they're not the Bible. They kind of help you see, okay, what is the context of this story and what is happening here? Because sometimes we get so focused in on a word in the verse or a part of the sentence, and we try to grasp onto something, take it out of context, and use it as a tool or use it as a weapon, rather than seeing, okay, what's the big picture here? What is God trying to teach me through this passage or through this story? And so know the context.
Yeah, one thing, there's a lot of good study Bibles out.
Yeah.
Yes.
That before you even get into the book, it's going to say, this is why the book was, this is who wrote it. This was who it was wrote to. This is the theme of the book. Which I think is incredibly helpful. And even in YouVersion, I feel like they're adding, what would you call that? A preface to
Yeah.
Yep.
Each book of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. The study Bibles are the way to go. I mean, I would suggest almost starting for NIV, New Living Translation. Just start with something that you can better understand if you want to dig into deeper later. And the cool thing now is I was just meeting with a guy yesterday morning, and when he walked in, my phone was talking to me.
Mm.
Get the Bible app, and it will read to you, because I don't like to read. So it's a lot easier for me to read and even play it next to me, and I just grasp more.
I was just talking to a guy on Sunday who said, I have a hard time with reading the Bible because I'm dyslexic.
I'm like, man.
And I was like, go listen to the Bible, or they, now they've got videos on YouTube, or there's so many ways to consume the Bible outside of just reading a piece of paper. Yeah. And I think another benefit of the study Bibles, like you're talking about, is knowing who the book is written to. And you mentioned that, because you'll notice that if the disciples are talking to a Jew, they talk very differently and they focus on different things than if they're talking to a Greek. Or you can learn more about why they're saying what they're saying if you know who they're writing it to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think pay attention to who what you're reading is written to.
Yeah, yeah. So the context of old to new to old, Matthew to...
Yeah, yeah, good. So the Bible is two sections. There's the Old Covenant, Old Testament. Covenant and Testament are used interchangeably. The Old Testament is the story of Israel. It also begins back in the creation, and we get very quickly to Abraham, and then the story becomes this big picture story of how God's redemption plan to the fall of man in the garden, and then leads us to Jesus. There is this big catastrophe that happens in the big beginning of the story. Sin enters and separates God and man, and then the whole Old Testament is God preparing the world to be redeemed, to be brought back to the way it was in the very beginning. That is the story of the Old Testament. It is the whole story of history to get us to Jesus. And then Jesus comes, and it doesn't just split our Bible in half. We this is the year 2023.
Yeah. It is.
Because of Jesus.
Yeah, last time absolutely.
Yeah. Like somebody said the other day, do we really know Jesus exists? And I was like, what year is it?
All right.
He's like, 2023. He's like, 2023 after what?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
It's been 2023 years since what? Yes, there is a reason the world, everything flipped upside down when Jesus steps in the scene, including this transition in the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so the New Testament is the story of Jesus's birth, death, resurrection, and launch of this movement that has just revolutionized our world ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the outline, the big picture outline of the Bible. When we talk about the Bible, we call it God's Word, which is a much bigger statement than just saying God spoke it. That's true. God spoke it, in not in verbal language, but the beginning of John is the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book of the New Testament, and John says that Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh. And so, yes, the Bible is God's Word, but it is not the entirety of God's Word. It is not all of God's Word. It's not the full revelation, but it is the revelation of God. And so I think it's important to remember that when you are reading the Bible, to honor it for what it is not just some history book. Mm. This is a letter from God. God inspired this book. God made sure that the book was written accurately. He brought it to the authors so that they could give it to us. And so the Bible is not a mural to look at. It is a window to look through. It is a way that we can see God. The Bible tells us that it is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Like, it is a living book. What other book can you say that about? You cannot say that about a book.
And that living is that he'll speak to you in different ways all the time. So
amen.
one thing won't affect you, and then later you'll read it 10 years from now, and you're like, oh, my lands, I don't even know how I didn't see that. Well, it's because that living Word, God didn't open your eyes to it at that time. He didn't reveal it, and now is the moment. So it's always changing.
What would you rather have in on the wall in your room? You'd rather have a picture of beautiful scenery, or would you rather have a window that looks out over beautiful scenery and you see the sun rise and set, and you see the animals, and you see nature out that window? The Bible is not just a beautiful picture. It is a window to see God, and God continually will reveal yourself, himself to you in powerful ways as you just dive deeper and deeper into what it has to say.
I understand what you're saying, and I like that a lot. I'm trying to word it a different way for me,
mm-hmm.
because that really is, I don't want to repeat what you just said, but that I'd like that a lot.
Yeah.
If you're just looking at the Bible, to be, I don't know that.
Like that picture.
Yeah. That's incredible. Is that like looking at it as a window look through mm-hmm. Is going to change you and change your life. Like God be in your thoughts, your heart more than if you just look at it as a picture, as a,
and I think I think you can look at it as a picture. You do. There's lots of people that look at it as a picture, but once you realize that truth in it and you start digging into it and like, God, reveal this. Please help me with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you start doing that, then you start seeing that it is a window. I mean, because if you just study it as just to read the story,
mm-hmm.
You can check it off and you've examined it.
Yep.
Fair enough. But if you look at it as that window, you know,
that's maybe it'd almost be like if you were looking at like a non-fictional like biography, like that to me is more of a mural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a snapshot in time.
Like if you're going to read about some war general, like or a president, that is a thing in time.
But what brings the Bible to life is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when I am reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit is interacting with me and the words that are in the Bible, whether it's words or just thoughts about the Bible, the Holy Spirit is interacting in that process in order to bring things to light in my life, to help me understand God and his big picture of the world and his purpose for my life. And that's the differentiation between the Bible is the Holy Spirit is there.
Mm-hmm.
He is actively participating mm-hmm. in this process of me understanding who God is.
Which the other thing that's been really helpful is, I mean, the Holy Spirit obviously is incredible. And also having a wise person or like having someone in your life or like it could be even like an online resource or a book resource, but like having an advisor with you as you read.
Absolutely.
I think is helpful. But I don't know.
Commentaries. That's what we used to only mm-hmm. have.
Yep.
I mean, so we would have a commentary and it would break down those things according to this person mm-hmm. and their studies.
Yep.
But then now we have just everything. You got to call people. You can look it up online. You got to be a little careful of that because you don't know what's true or not.
Oh yeah.
I mean, to be able to have somebody, you're right, to call and feed off of is
important. I think that's a big value of the church and of mm-hmm. life groups is mm-hmm. group study, because sometimes I can read things into scripture and maybe I'm misreading it or my own desires of what I hope it says. Mm-hmm. I can read my opinions into the Bible really quickly.
Yes.
And when we read it together with each other, then we're able to help each other see what it actually says and wise advisors. The problem is if you do all of this study either alone or just by using the internet.
Right.
Right.
Well, anybody can write anything on the internet. I would much rather have somebody who I know, somebody who I trust. Yeah. And that's why our church tries to do a good job of recommending resources, just to say, hey, we've vetted this. We've had conversations about this. We believe that this is trustworthy, not to endorse every single thing they've ever said, but
No, that's what happens. If you say,
oh man,
person X has done a good thing, they're like, no. He said that one thing that one time. You're like, all right, I have to totally disavow
everything. I've gone doctors. I've got doctor friends that they've studied, and guess where they go when somebody walks in and they don't know a question? They go to the internet.
Yeah.
And but they're able to decipher it.
Right.
So as you get deeper, you're able to decipher the stuff that's just junk.
Yep.
But that's why you mentioned people ask me all the time, or they make comments about church.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that important? I don't have to be to church. I don't have to do all this stuff. And say what you will, you'll desire that.
Yep.
You'll desire it. I don't have to be to church to, right, to grow in my walk, but I can tell you what, it is a lot nicer when Mike's done all the studying,
mm-hmm,
and there's a group of like-minded people, and you guys have practiced the music, and I don't have to pick out anything.
Yeah.
It's nice to come and just go and recharge.
Yep.
You know, and so that's a little pitch for that, but it's true. I mean, people go, oh, I can do this on my own. Well, there are a few people out there that dig into this Bible, and they have been kind of, they've stepped away from church a little bit. But I get that because of hurt and stuff. But if you are diving into this every day and you're really desiring that, if you continually don't want to be around other people that are on that same journey, there needs to be some check happening.
Yep, absolutely. And I think there comes a point where, okay, now that I've learned with other people, I've heard from wise advisors, that I've gotten to the point where I have some understanding of Scripture enough that I can begin to discern what is right and what is wrong. Then now you're participating in the church, not just so that I can get something out of it, not just so that it can help me, but now I have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So now it can be part of my ministry, and then you can kind of take a next step into it and lead a Bible study at work, yeah, or whatever next steps you can take to help other people.
Well, there's nothing more. I mean, my guys, it's amazing when you go this route and you really dive into that. First of all, you better be in check, because I get to my work a lot and I read at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I know that Satan's going to not like what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there is nothing more rewarding when your guys come in and they go, I got to talk to somebody about Christ. And or we helped this person be pro bono type of stuff. There's nothing. You watch these guys that we walk through life with, and these gals at work, and I say work because that's where most of us are most of the time. But you get to see the excitement in their story at their morning meeting when they actually, one of my guys called me the other day. He had picked up a guy that was struggling. And he's just trying. He says, "Chad, I don't even know what to do with this guy. I mean, but he's struggling with life. He wants to end it, and we need to pray with him and talk to him." And man, that is better than anything that they've ever bought. They show up with new trucks and they walk out and they all like, "Ooh," and that's over. But I can tell you, when they tell the story about how the Bible has become real to them,
amen,
then it's pretty awesome.
Life-changing.
Yep. Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Do you guys have any, before we go, do you guys have any, like right now, I just, again, kind of stumbled onto the Bible Project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep,
they're and good. That has been very fun and insightful, and kind of makes, like, when you get, then you start reading again, or you apply what you've heard into your readings, and it does give it new life. Like, I've never caught that or thought about that. Do you guys have we said don't have everything online, but do you have an online source or a commentary?
I would endorse Bible Project too. Just if you're going to read the book of Matthew, go to YouTube and type in Matthew, the Bible Project.
Yeah.
They'll give you an overview so that before you even start, you know what you're getting into, and you can see the big picture, and it helps you read the book. I would endorse that one.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
And we do Authentic Manhood. That's a 33 series. That's what we do at our office. It's six series. There's six lessons per series. It goes through a man and his wife, his man and his dad, a man and his, I mean, it just goes through all these things. Are the trap man and his traps? That's my favorite. You talk about having people uncomfortable at a work setting in the morning when we start talking about pornography and the things about how they're, you know, any of those idols are unfulfilling and they'll let us down. And so that's one that I've kind of fallen in love with years ago and just try to walk guys through. That's a good one.
Yeah, I doubt many people would enjoy reading the commentaries that I'm reading right now, because most of them are very difficult to read. But most of my Bible study right now, like on my own, is deeper study of what others have said different passage means.
Yeah.
But when I'm doing more lighter reading of Scripture, I'm using the Bible app. I'm listening to it. I listen to the Bible every day on the way to and from the gym. On the Bible app, on YouVersion.
Right, yeah.
And so I listen through the Bible a couple times a year, and
gosh,
I do that.
I listen to things like On the Way and Holy Man.
Oh, there you go. Hey,
a little plug for these guys. Plug. Yeah.
Yep. On the Way.
But podcast. But those are podcasts that really are when I'm on a trip, or I'll listen to a sermon. Those are things that, man, when you're on the way,
mm-hmm.
or Pastor Paul with a Holy Man.
That's good.
You know, look those up. I mean, those are things that I think the more you know, we tell our kids, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Amen.
Well, you show me what you're inputting into your mind and I'll show you the way you're going to act.
Yep.
And the way your life is going to be.
True that.
Not through the circumstances of your life, but the way you handle them.
Yep. Paul tells us that we'll be made new by the transforming of our minds. And a way that God transformed our minds is through Scripture, and just become fully immersed by Scripture. Like spend some time in your life. If you've never done it before, don't just go with one of these ideas, go with all of them.
Like
just dive in, mm-hmm. spend a couple weeks just like consuming yourself with Scripture. Get the big picture of Scripture. Because I feel like you have to develop a taste for Scripture.
Yeah.
A lot of people, it's kind of like coffee. You drink it the first time and you're like, didn't really like it that much. But then, I mean, I'm addicted to this stuff. Why? Because I developed a taste for it. That's the way I see Scripture. I could go for a year.
Yeah.
when I first started reading the Bible, I'm trudging through it. Like, I don't care about those people and I don't need to know this stuff. But once you start to get the big picture, it becomes fun. It becomes an exploration and an exciting thing to dive into. And so develop that taste for Scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's great. Awesome. Chad, I love it. Humility and heart.
Yeah, that's good.
It's good. Reading the Bible.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for all you do.
I love having your faith at work in our community to make sure that God's love is spreading outside of the church walls. And
it's got to. And if you do, if you're not in this, this is what gives you the encouragement, and this is what gives you the boldness, and the Holy Spirit living in you and making that relationship such a real relationship to where you're just like, well, yeah. Mm. I mean, when we talk about people go, oh, I like that you're living your faith out. Well, yeah, but how? Why? As Christians, why aren't we? I mean, I think because they come to church and they don't dive into it. They don't eat and breathe and sleep it. They go, okay, that's nice. I believe this. Hell's scary. Heaven seems delightful compared to this world. So I believe it and I'm going to be there. But man, I have a good friend of mine and he says he believes when we get to heaven, we're going to be shown all the opportunities that we missed out and all the times that the God would just be like, man, you have such little faith. There was this opportunity and you didn't even know that it was there. And then you go kind of like, well, I knew it was there, but I didn't have the guts to do it.
Yep.
And then pretty soon you're like, I don't care what else happens. And Lord, please don't let me miss an opportunity.
Yep.
You know, so I think that's kind of the heart of people. And you see these baby Christians stay as baby Christians. And yes, great. You know, they're going to be eternity in heaven, but there's so much, God wants so much more for our lives. And the only way we do that is by engulfing in this.
Amen. Yep. Absolutely. I believe that. Yep.
Guys, thank you for joining us. We hope that you are getting in the Word, that maybe something that we said here would encourage you or have you look into another resource, just start reading or read more, whatever it would be that this was impactful for you. So thank you for joining us. If you liked it, would you please hit the thumbs up, like, subscribe, share, of course. And also, if you totally disagree with this and you did not like it at all, please hit the thumbs down twice, just so that we know for sure.
Nice.
Right? Right. With that.
Yeah, and you should know that Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.